What's up, heroes? Welcome to episode 5 of the Producer Life Podcast. This is still the House Ninja, and I really appreciate you guys being here with me. In this episode, we're going to talk about places to find acapellas, which you can use in your production as well as your DJ sets. And after that, I want to talk briefly about album art, which is the only thing that matters until somebody listens to your music. Alright, when working with acapellas, the first thing you got to know is what the key of the instrumental is and what the key of the acapella is, and specifically whether or not the two keys are compatible. If you don't already know the key, I like to use a piece of software called Mixed in Key. It's got the best key detection, it relabels files, and even organizes your files if you want to let it. Now, note that I said compatible key, not in key. In terms of finding compatible keys, the Camelot wheel, again designed by the friendly people over at Mixed in Key, is the easiest way for me to conceptualize it. The Camelot wheel is a simplified way of looking at the circle of fifths. The circle of fifths shows the relationship among the 12 tones of the chromatic scale along with associated major and minor keys. Because of its simplicity, the Camelot wheel is really popular with DJs who want to mix harmonically, which just means mixing tracks in compatible keys. But it's also useful for producing tracks. I'll have a link in the show notes explaining how to use the wheel. Just head over to houseninjamusic.com and you'll see it. Look for episode 5. Bottom line, instead of just looking for an exact key match between the acapella and the instrumental, you can look for an acapella that matches one of 4 compatible keys, which opens up a lot more possibilities. By the way, there are free alternatives out there to Mixed in Key. For example, Rekordbox, that's Rekordbox with a K, which many DJs use to prepare files for Pioneer Gear or even DJ with, also does key detection. It's just, the reviews I've seen, it's not quite as accurate as Mixed in Key. Now, there are 2 types of acapellas. There's studio and do-it-yourself. Studio acapellas are what you really want because those are just the vocals, they're typically bounced from the original project, and it is a nice, clean stem. Do-it-yourself acapellas often have a lot of audio artifacts, and their legality is dubious at best, so be careful, and a little bit more on that later. So, where can you find acapellas? Well, my favorite place is Splice. That's splice.com. It costs about $8 a month, but they have millions of samples. They offer rent-to-own VSTs. They have collaborative tools that back up and let you work with other musicians. They've got an active community of users. And included in those millions of samples are a ton of royalty-free acapellas, all sorted by key. So it is terrific, and it's a site that I'm already signed up for. One of the other things about Splice is that they often have official remix competitions, which means you get those studio acapellas, those nice clean acapellas that you can work with. One of the things I like to do before signing up for a remix competition on Splice or any other site is to read the legalese on those competitions. Some of those remix competitions specifically give you permission to post your remixes over to YouTube or SoundCloud, even if you don't win. So that gives you the opportunity to take your track and get some additional publicity, even if you don't make the final cut. My Bomb Diggy remix is over on YouTube right now, which started off as a remix competition on Splice. I've been a member of Splice for over 3 years now, and I love it. If you want to join, I'll give you my referral link in the show notes. It gives me some extra download credits if you sign up, so that would be awesome. Now, there are other sites for acapellas which are driven by an active user community, so this is a lot of do-it-yourself acapellas. Again, remember my warning, these have dubious legality at best. So these are probably best for things like bootleg remixes, things that weren't authorized, and maybe live performances, although even that still technically may or may not be legal. Consult an attorney. The other thing you want to think about is viruses. So some of these sites have had issues with people uploading files that contain viruses. So before you use any of these sites, make sure your antivirus software is up to date. One of the biggest acapella sites out there that's been out for a long time and is free is acapellas4u.co.uk. This is the granddaddy of acapella sites. I'll link it in the show notes. There are tons of files, active community. You can get 24 downloads per month. It is free to use, although they have a 60-second wait if you haven't donated money to the site. If you do donate, it lets you get a preview of the acapellas, gives you access to all of their archives, gets rid of ads, and it gives you the key information, which is certainly very, very useful. A more modern site has a beautiful design is vocler.it. That's V-O-C-L-R.it. They have a free version, which gives you 5 downloads a month, although some of the acapellas are restricted to Pro. And Pro is $7 a month currently, which gives you unlimited downloads. Now, much like acapellas for you, vocler.it relies on its user community. While they claim that they have a lot of studio acapellas as well as do-it-yourself acapellas, some of the files are mislabeled. For example, I downloaded, just to check it out, a Hathaway What Is Love acapella. It sounded pretty good, and then as I looked at the name on the file itself, it was labeled cover. So it's somebody else singing it, it's not the original artist, but that wasn't disclosed when I was looking at it on the website. So again, you're relying on the user base that vocler.it has, but it is still a very slick and easy to use website and one that's well worth checking out. The reality is you're probably going to have to search multiple sites to find a good quality acapella for the track you're looking for, or you may just have to make it yourself. I'll do a podcast on that at some point in the future. All right, so what do you do with a bootleg remix? You've got an instrumental, and you found a really cool pop a cappella that you've laid over the top. Now, what can you do with that legally? Well, again, consult your attorney, but I feel like one of the places that you are most safe, in addition to live performances, is on YouTube. And that's because of YouTube's Content ID algorithm, which identifies copyrighted material and then gives the copyright holder various options. For example, some copyright holders will say, well, just mute the track if somebody is using my material, my vocals, for example. Other copyright holders, and this seems more common in my experience, is they'll simply say, okay, they can use it, but monetize it for me. So what that means is you won't get paid on the streams. However, you do still get the streams. You get any subscribers, you get any comments, you get the attention. And that seems like a win for everyone. Let's move on and talk a little bit about cover art. Best case scenario, you're an amazing graphic artist and can create everything from scratch yourself. That is perfect. Congratulations, you can stop listening at this point. If that's not you, here are a couple of different options. The cheapest option, which I started off with, was using Pixabay or Unsplash or some other free stock photography site, and then editing it a little bit using GIMP. GIMP stands for the GNU Image Manipulation Program. It's a really popular open source image editor that competes with Photoshop, and it's been around since 1996, so there are plenty of tutorials out there that are just a Google search away. Sites like Unsplash or Pixabay rely on photographers all around the world to submit images, which is great. There are a lot of amazing photographers out there that are willing to share their work for publicity. However, I was looking through photos when I came across a picture of Optimus Prime labeled for commercial use. So I started screenshotting who had posted any images that I chose to use and that had they been labeled for commercial reuse. That way, I reasoned, if I got in trouble and the image had been pulled down, it was their fault for posting it, right? I'm not liable. In 2018, I went to the CD Baby DIY Music Conference in Nashville, Tennessee. I learned a ton. I took over 30 pages of typed notes, which I then cleaned up and hyperlinked. So if you'd like a copy, go check out the show notes for episode 5. One of the sessions they had allowed you to ask questions of their lead attorney for 15 minutes. So I had a whole bunch of questions for him, but one of the ones that I threw at him was this. You know, if I'm using a stock site and I use that for my album art and it gets distributed all over the world, and then it comes out that that image was copyrighted, am I liable or was it the person that posted it? And it was his opinion that the fact that somebody else posted it does not remove your liability, and it is your responsibility to make sure that you have the rights to the graphic. So we turned to hired help. Several of my covers have been done on Fiverr, that's F-I-V-E-R-R.com, including Unbreakable and my most recent track, Vinpaka. I really like Fiverr because they have so many different services available. I've used them for everything from translations to lyrics to top lines to logos to graphic design. And because they've got so many users, you've got a lot of people with a lot of ratings, which helps you to pick the best of the breed. Even there, though, a good mantra is to trust but verify. You're trusting that the users that you're hiring on Fiverr are not stealing other artwork. For both Vinpaka and Unbreakable, for example, I discovered that the person I hired was relying on free stock photography from either Pixabay or Unsplash, but hadn't been disclosing it until I asked. So now I'm back to the previous problem. So how do you ensure your artwork from Unsplash or Fiverr or Pixabay or wherever wasn't stolen? You can't be sure, but a reverse image search will help. There's two different places that I like to use for reverse image searches. One is images.google.com. You can upload your image. Even a screenshot of a draft from Fiverr complete with watermarks will work. See if someone else is using the image and what it's been used for. Another option is a site called tineye.com. That's T-I-N-E-Y-E.com. They use their own algorithms. The results will be a little different from Google, so it makes a good second check. One of the other things that I like about tineye over Google is that it gives you the option to sort by the date it was posted. So if you look for the oldest image out there, there's a good chance that that's the original. And hopefully that leads you to a stock site and the original artist. If you want to see some examples of some of my artwork, I'll post it to the show notes, and you can kind of see what the images look like that Fiverr came up with. Because I'm not currently much of a graphic artist, I'll continue hiring people to do most of my artwork. But I'll definitely still be checking any images they provide, and I strongly suggest that you do so as well. By the way, I am a Fiverr affiliate, which means that I do get some compensation if you decide to use any of their services using the link on my show notes page. That would be a terrific way for you to support this podcast without any cost to you. So thanks. In the next episode, we'll be talking more about vocals and how to chop them up in interesting ways, as well as several reasons why you should consider converting your personal Instagram account into a professional one. So make sure you subscribe, and if you enjoyed this podcast, please leave a rating and review over on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. I'd love to highlight your review on a future episode. This is the House Ninja, reminding you to be someone's hero today.
Just a reminder, ninjas are not attorneys, especially this one, so if you're really concerned, go seek out legal counsel.